Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Moe's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful, beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. It's about 70 degrees outside, so definitely enjoying the weather. And I've had a pretty good weekend, and I'm ready to talk sports with you. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. You can also email me, MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. That's MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at TheDukeBoy100. That's at TheDukeBoy100. So that's DUKEBOY 100. You can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Moe's Sports Talk in the search, and you can like my Facebook page. Those are the ways you can contact the show. Oh, also, don't forget, the show is also available on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. And I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. But like I said, we have a big show planned for you today. We're going to talk about the Final Four, two great games that took place on Saturday. We'll talk about those games. And also, we'll look ahead to the National Championship game tonight. Also, we'll also talk some NBA as well. The playoffs are right around the corner, less than 2 weeks away from the NBA playoffs, so definitely looking forward to that. But before we talk basketball, we can talk Major League Baseball. Opening day was, opening day was Sunday. Anyway, my favorite team, the New York Yankees, got a loss. The Rays beat the Yankees 7-3. That's the Yankees' sixth straight opening game loss for them. But anyway, they lose 7-3 to the Rays. It's not so bad that the Yankees lost. It's just how they lost. Masahiro Tanaka just really struggled. He only went 2 2/3 inning and gave up 7 earned runs. I mean, my goodness, that's just horrible pitching. That's just bad. Chris Archer was big time for the Rays. He went 7 innings and only gave up 2 earned runs, so that was the difference in that baseball game was the starting pitching. But Tanaka's going to have to turn it around. If the Yankees are going to have any chance of making it to the playoffs, Masahiro Tanaka has to pitch like an ace, so we'll see if he can get that done. Also, the Cubs, they lost the Cardinals. Nice win there for the Cardinals on opening night for St. Louis. They're going to be dangerous yet again, but St. Louis is always dangerous. But it's just one game. Again, you know, baseball is the ultimate. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So there you go on that. So we can talk about that. So we want to talk baseball right now. The Dodgers are beating the Padres 12-2, so we can talk about that as well. Also, we can talk about some NFL news, the big news from this weekend. Adrian Peterson visits with the New England Patriots. Wow. You talk about the rich getting richer. If they were somehow to land Adrian Peterson. I don't know how the meeting went. I'm still asking around trying to find out how that meeting went, but my goodness. Just think if the Patriots add Adrian Peterson to go along with Brandon Cooks and a healthy Rob Gronkowski. That's just scary. My goodness. I mean, you talk about loaded. I mean, my goodness. Who do they think they are, the Warriors? I mean, my goodness. So we'll see how that meeting went. But that's very, very interesting. We'll definitely keep you up to date on that. But right now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick opening timeout. We'll play a little music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack. Still looking forward to the Fate of the Furious. But we're going to play some music from the Fate from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack. Then we'll come back. We'll talk Final Four and National Championship game. We'll do all that next on Moe's Sports Talk.
Sean Khalid from Man. Don't shine.
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam, it's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one-eye stove. You can catch me kissing my girl with both eyes closed. Perfecting my passion, thanks for asking. Couldn't slow down, so we had to crash it. You use plastic, we've outcast. see some people ahead that we gon' pass, yeah.
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. We can talk anything in the world of sports. Let's turn our attention to the Final Four. Let's talk about the two great games that took place on Saturday. The first game, Gonzaga versus South Carolina, a classic. Gonzaga holds on to beat South Carolina 77-73. Nigel Williams-Gauss, he had 23 points, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds. The Twin Towers really did work for Gonzaga on the inside. Zach Collins, he had 14 points and 10 rebounds. Kornowski had 13 points and 5 rebounds. They shot 48% from the field. They were 9 of 19 from threes. They have multiple guys who can knock down that three-point shot, and that was a big difference in the basketball game, their ability to knock down threes. They were up by as many as 14 points. It looked like they were going to blow out South Carolina, but give South Carolina credit. They fought all tournament long. They fought hard, and they went on a 16-0 run and even took a lead late in the game. I was getting a little concerned there since I picked Gonzaga to win. I was right on that, but definitely wrong on the spread. P.J. Dozier from South Carolina, he had 17 points and 9 rebounds, but their best player, he didn't play great. Sindorius Thornwell, he scored 15 points, but on 4-12 shooting. He wasn't aggressive enough, especially early in the game. He definitely was not aggressive enough. His shot was just off. Maybe he was still a little sick. Carlos Silva, he had 13 points and 13 rebounds. But South Carolina shot just 38% from the field, and they were 7 of 20 from threes. So you have to give them credit. I mean, if you had told me South Carolina would shoot that poorly from the three-point line, also from the field, I'd say, oh, they get blown out. But their defense will keep them in just about any game when they play the defense that they're capable of, and that really spurred that 16-0 run. Also, but you have to give Gonzaga credit. When it was crunch time, they made a great decision to foul. When they were up by three, they foul Sindorius Thornwell. He was looking for a three with about 3.5 seconds left to go in the game. That was a great decision there by Gonzaga. They said, hey, we're not going to give you a chance to send it to overtime. I would love to see it in overtime, but that was a smart decision there by Gonzaga to foul and make Sindorius Thornwell make a free throw and then purposely miss a free throw and then get the rebound. A lot of things have to happen to get you beat, so that was a great decision there by Gonzaga. But again, give South Carolina all the credit in the world. They fought hard. They played aggressive defense. But Gonzaga just had too many weapons for South Carolina. I mean, they have a lot of weapons. That's one thing Gonzaga does have. A lot of guys who can hit the three, and those bigs on the inside, Zach Collins and Kornowski, they were big difference makers in the basketball game. So Gonzaga, they move on to the national championship game tonight. And then the second national semifinal, we had North Carolina taking on Oregon. North Carolina, they held on to beat Oregon 77-76. Kennedy Meeks, he was a man among boys. He had 5 points and 14 rebounds. He definitely did work on the glass. Justin Jackson, he had 22 points. Oregon left him open a little too much in that zone. North Carolina only shot 37% from the field, but they had 17 offensive rebounds. I told you on this show that their size would be the difference, and it was the difference in the basketball game. Because you have to give credit to Oregon. The game was played at Oregon's pace. North Carolina didn't get out in transition as much as they would like. North Carolina likes an up-and-down game. That didn't happen. And also, North Carolina, I mean, they missed some critical free throws down the stretch. I mean, they gave Oregon every opportunity to stay in the game. Oregon missed some big free throws as well. But Tyler Dorsey, he scored 21 points. He was 12 of 12 from the free throw line, but he was only 3 of 11 shooting. Also, Dylan Brooks, he scored 16, also on 2 of 11 shooting. So when your best player shoot that poorly, it would be hard for Oregon to win. And North Carolina took advantage of that. And give credit to North Carolina's perimeter defense. Their length with Theo Pinson and Justin Jackson, I thought that would be a big difference maker in the basketball game, and it was. Oregon had a hard time shooting over top of Justin Jackson, also Theo Pinson as well. Dylan Ennis, he scored 18 points. Jordan Bell had 13 points and 16 rebounds, but Oregon was only 7-26 from the three-point line, and they also had 16 turnovers as well, and they still had an opportunity to win the basketball game. Those missed free throw box outs. When North Carolina missed four straight free throws in a row, Oregon could not box out. Now, you know, if you want to put in the film of how not to finish off a game, just put in the North Carolina-Oregon game and show North Carolina missing free throws, missing layups. Theo Pinson missed at least two easy layups for him. And then those missed free throws, four. I know there's a lot of pressure, but step up and make a free throw. My goodness, those missed free throws. Oregon had every opportunity to win the basketball game. They couldn't capitalize those missed box outs on free throws. That was really, really costly. Couldn't box out. The size was just a little too much for Oregon in the end with Kennedy Meeks. And they have a lot of size, not just Kennedy Meeks. Isaiah Hicks, who has to play better, and we'll talk about him in a minute. He didn't play well at all on Saturday. He'll be a big key tonight for North Carolina. But with that size and Tony Bradley as well, that size gives teams a lot of trouble, and it gave Oregon trouble in the end because Oregon had every opportunity. If they had just gotten the ball, maybe they win the game. Maybe we're talking about Oregon in the national championship game, but that did not happen. Give credit to North Carolina, even though they missed those critical free throws, they missed layups, they fought hard, they found a way to win the game. And that's credit to North Carolina. That's a big time win. They move on. They held on to win. Easily could have lost the game. Oregon, like I said, it was at Oregon's pace. Oregon got the game at their pace, but their inability to knock down the three, give credit to the perimeter defense of North Carolina, and also the size. The size factor was the difference as well. And also, Tyler Dorsey and Dylan Brooks struggling from the field as well. You got to have your best players step up in the Final Four, and they did not step up. And that's the difference. North Carolina moves on. So tonight we have a national title game between North Carolina and Gonzaga, 8:20 tip-off time on CBS. Before we give you the preview, don't forget, if you want to let me know your national championship prediction, you can. Natasha from Black Sports Online, who covers the Miami Heat. She is picking the Tar Heels, but she thinks it's going to be a low-scoring affair. Not that high-scoring, so I don't know. She didn't give me a scoring prediction, but you can give me a scoring prediction if you want. Just go ahead and call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. But let's continue our look at the national championship game between Gonzaga and North Carolina. Also, when you look at Gonzaga, they're twin towers on the inside. They're one of the few teams in the tournament that has as much size as North Carolina. Kornowski and Zach Collins, they can be a big difference in this basketball game. Their ability to rebound, their ability to defend, block shots. I think North Carolina's bigs are a little more mobile. That could be the difference. They're a little more agile. They're a little more mobile, especially over Kornowski. But he's a big man. There's no doubt about that. So he's hard to score on. But I could see him getting in foul trouble in this one. But they're going to be key. They were really good against South Carolina on Saturday. Also, when you talk about Gonzaga, there are multiple threats from the three-point line. Nigel Williams-Gause, also Jonathan Williams, he didn't play that great. He can knock down the three. Also, Silas Melson and Josh Perkins, Jordan Matthews, you can't leave those guys open. They have a plethora of guys who can knock down that three, so you have to get out. Perimeter defense is going to be very important tonight for North Carolina. Also, you have to talk about the Gonzaga defense. They did a great job of locking down South Carolina, even though sometimes South Carolina struggles to score. But this is a whole different ball game trying to shut down North Carolina. This is definitely the best team that Gonzaga has seen all season long in this North Carolina team with their size, their athleticism, their ability to get up and down the floor. I thought at times, Gonzaga's transition defense left a little bit to be desired. Their transition defense is going to have to be really good tonight. You cannot give up easy baskets tonight. That's going to be a key for Gonzaga. Transition defense, that's going to be a big key. And also, can Gonzaga, another key for Gonzaga, can they keep North Carolina out of the paint and off the offensive glass? That's going to be very, very important. You know North Carolina lives in the paint. They love to score in the paint. They're one of the best teams in the country this season at scoring in the paint. Can Gonzaga keep North Carolina out of the paint and off the offensive glass? Because they love to do work on the offensive glass. And we talk about that on the show all the time. If you do work on the offensive glass, you get victories. And that's going to be a big key for Gonzaga, is keeping North Carolina off the offensive glass. When we look at North Carolina, you have to talk about Joel Berry's health. Obviously, he's not at 100%. You could tell that on, to say the least. You could tell that on Saturday. He didn't shoot the ball very well. But him just being on the court, he doesn't have to score. He has to set the pace for North Carolina. When he's in, he has to play that up-tempo style. He has to get North Carolina in transition. That's going to be key for North Carolina. And also, another key for North Carolina, Kennedy Meeks, can he be effective down low against those twin towers from Gonzaga? Again, like I said, Gonzaga, they have the size that can contend with North Carolina. That's going to be a key for North Carolina. Can Kenny Meeks, can Isaiah Hicks has to be a lot better, by the way. He was awful on Saturday. He has to really step his game up. They're definitely going to need him. Maybe a little Tony Bradley as well and a little Luke May. They have so much size. Those guys have to step up. And another key for North Carolina is their perimeter defense. It was really good against Oregon on Saturday. Theo Pinson and Justin Jackson. Gonzaga, they have smaller guards. Can Pinson and Justin Jackson, can they play defense like they did on Saturday? Can they make life really tough for the outside shooting of Gonzaga? I think that's going to be a key. And also, North Carolina has to get easy buckets. They have to get this game at their pace. They have to get it up and down in transition. I think Gonzaga wants to run as well, but you don't really want to run with North Carolina. So I think they're going to want to play at a little slower pace than North Carolina. But North Carolina wants to get this game up in the low 80s. They want that kind of pace. So can they get the game at their pace? I think that's going to be key. And also, can North Carolina dominate in the paint? Again, Gonzaga, with their size, I think North Carolina can, because I think they're a little more agile. They're a little more mobile on the inside. I think that could be a big difference. Maybe they can get Kornowski, and Zach Collins is pretty mobile, but he can block shots as well. He's a really athletic seven-footer. But maybe North Carolina can get the Gonzaga bigs into foul trouble. I think that's going to be a key as well. My final prediction on this game is Gonzaga has the size. They definitely have the size to slow down North Carolina, but North Carolina, to me, like I said, they're more mobile and they have more experience. Don't forget, North Carolina lost in this game last year. Their whole mantra this year was redemption. And this pains me as a Duke fan to say, but I think North Carolina gets their redemption. This would definitely be Gonzaga's, the best team that Gonzaga has seen all season long. Don't forget, they played Arizona without Alonzo Trier, and I know Barry's not healthy, but I think this North Carolina team is definitely the best team Gonzaga has seen all season long. I'm going to go with North Carolina to win 82-78. So I like North Carolina to cover, and also I like the over. So we'll see. Maybe I'm crazy on that because both teams do play pretty good defense. But I think this game is going to be played at a high pace, high octane pace. So I'm going to go with North Carolina by 4. I believe North Carolina is favored by a point there, so we shall see what happens. Don't forget, it's not too late. If you want to let me know your national championship prediction, you can call me at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Right now, we're going to take another quick break. We're going to play some music from the Jackson 5. When we come back, we do have a special guest. My grandma Trice is going to stop by. She wants to give us her thoughts on the national championship game. And then we'll come back and we'll talk some NBA. Playoffs are right around the corner. We'll do all that next on Mo's Sports Talk. Championship game. Oh, Lord. Now I'm going to go with North Carolina over Gonzaga. Gonzaga just sounds funny. That's a funny sounding team in Gonzaga. What does that even mean? I don't understand it. I don't forget, my fourth husband was from North Carolina. Oh, Lord, I always loved North Carolina. I know my grandson's a Duke fan, but I'm sorry. North Carolina, they just have so much size. Oh, Lord, that Kenny Meeks, he's just a big, big man. Oh, Lord. They say Kornowski, he's a mountain of a man, but oh, Lord, he hadn't met Kennedy Meeks. But like I'm going to say, I'm going to go with North Carolina, but don't forget, read your Bible and don't be a demon seed. Oh, Lord. Well, thank you, Grandma Tri, stopping by, giving us her predictions on the national championship game. Don't forget, if you want to talk about the national championship game, you want to talk anything about sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. I would love to hear from you. Let's turn our attention to the NBA. Let's talk about the weekend that was in the NBA. The Spurs, they come back on Friday night from 21 down in the third to beat the Thunder 100-95. Kawhi Leonard, he had 28 points and 8 rebounds. Most of his damage was done in the second half. He definitely benefited from Andre Roberson getting into foul trouble. I thought the Thunder did a pretty good job on him most of the game. Pau Gasol had 17 points and 6 rebounds, but their ball movement was better late, and that was the difference. They finished the game on a 13-4 run. Russell Westbrook, he had another triple-double. What else is new? He scored 32 points. He had 15 rebounds, 12 assists, but 9 turnovers, so way too many turnovers. But again, another triple-double for him, his 39th. Victor Oladipo, he scored 16, but only 4 after the first half. When we talked about this game on Friday, I told you that Russell Westbrook is going to need some help against the Spurs, and he just didn't get enough help. Steven Adams had 13 points and 7 rebounds. Enes Kanter had 11 points and 5 rebounds, but they were only plus 5 on the glass. And Oklahoma City, they were with plus 13 on the glass in the first half. They did not dominate on the glass like they needed to. They were only plus 5 for the game. And when you play the Spurs, you have to dominate them on the glass. If you're the Thunder, if you have any chance to win, you have to dominate them on the glass. Give the Spurs credit. They did a better job of boxing out. And also, the Thunder shot just 41% from the field. They had 18 turnovers, so way too many turnovers. Also, the Spurs had 11 block shots as well. So a bad, bad loss for the Thunder. When you're up by 21 points in the third quarter against the Spurs, you have to take advantage of that. You have to win that basketball game. The turnovers, just way too many turnovers. The defense, again, they got into some foul trouble, but the defense late wasn't good enough. And again, Russell Westbrook just did not have enough help in the second half especially. So tough, tough loss for the Thunder. Also on Friday night, the Warriors, they got past the Houston Rockets 107-98. Steph Curry, he had 24 points and 7 assists. Klay Thompson scored 20. Andre Iguodala had 14 points and 5 rebounds. They hit 11 threes. Great defensive effort again by Golden State. They're playing some excellent lockdown defense. Anytime you hold Houston to less than 100 points, you're doing something right. They're playing some great, great defense right now, Golden State, and that's really propelled them to this winning streak that they're on. James Harden, he scored 17 points, but on 4 of 18 shooting, he did have 12 rebounds and 8 assists, but again, shot from the field very poorly. Eric Gordon had 15, but they shot just 37% from the field. So, again, a great defensive effort there by Golden State, because anytime you hold the Houston Rockets at 37% shooting and less than 100 points, you're doing something right. So a nice win for them. And then on Sunday, we had really good games. The Spurs, they beat the Jazz on Sunday 109-103. They won this game despite LaMarcus Aldridge, Danny Green, and also Manu Ginobili. They all didn't play, but Kawhi Leonard played. He played really well. He scored 27. Tony Parker had 21 points and 5 assists. Jonathan Simmons added 17. They shot 52% from the field. They hit 10 threes. They also had 26 assists. Great ball movement for them. For the Jazz, Rudy Gobert, he had 19 points and 14 rebounds. Boris Diaw had 19. They were without some players as well. But the Spurs, they got to the free throw line. They were 19-22 from the free throw line. The Jazz were just 10-13. So anytime you make more free throws than the other team attempts, you're doing really good. That's a key stat in basketball. That means you're the more aggressive team. The other team's having issues defending without fouling. So a nice win there for the Spurs without some of their key players. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything in world sports, it's not too late. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Love to hear from you. Also, on Sunday, the Hornets, they whipped the Thunder in Oklahoma City, 113-101. Kemba Walker, he scored 29 points. Frank Kaminsky added 18. The Hornets hit 11 threes, and they also had 18 steals. 18 steals by the Charlotte Hornets. Russell Westbrook, he scored. He had another triple-double. He had 40 points, but on 14 of 31 shooting, so he didn't shoot the ball that well. He also had 13 rebounds and 10 assists, but 8 turnovers. Again, way too many turnovers. Victor Oladipo added 19, but as a team, they had 24 turnovers. Anytime you have that many turnovers, you're asking to get beat, and Charlotte turned those 24 turnovers into 35 points. Defending without fouling was also an issue for Oklahoma City. They did a poor job of defending without fouling for most of the game. And where is their energy, their activity on the defensive end? You didn't see it until late in the game. They made a run in the fourth quarter. They were active. They were engaged in the fourth quarter, but it just was not enough as the Thunder lose 113-101. The perimeter defense was poor, and again, those turnovers, just way too many turnovers. And again, not enough help for Russell Westbrook. Not enough of his teammates stepping up and scoring the basketball. They're going to have to step up, and they have some interesting games this week. They play Milwaukee on Tuesday night, and then they play Memphis on Wednesday night. They're only a game and a half out of that seventh spot. They're battling with Memphis, so that's a game that Oklahoma City needs to try to win against Memphis. Memphis is really struggling. They lost to the Lakers on Sunday, so they just got to limit those turnovers. That's going to be key in bringing that energy and that defensive effort. And each quarter, you know, not just in the fourth quarter, you have to bring that, you know, that consistent defense. That's going to be key for Oklahoma City. And then also on Sunday, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they beat the Indiana Pacers in double overtime, 135-130. LeBron James, a triple-double, 41 points, 16 rebounds, and 11 assists. Great game for him. A guy that you really need to step up, Duke's own Kyrie Irving. He scored 23 points, but on 5 of 20 shooting, he also had 7 assists. He's going to have to shoot the ball better. He's going to have to play like Kyrie did in the finals. He's capable of it. His handle, his ability to get in the lane, his ability to put pressure on the defense, he can knock down the three. He has to play better for the Cavaliers. Also, Kevin Love, he had a double-double, 20 points and 12 rebounds. They shot 50% from the field, and they hit 18 threes. That's without Kyle Korver, by the way, so that's really impressive. And also a good sign for the Cavaliers offensively, J.R. Smith, he scored 18, but they still had defensive issues, giving up 130 points, I know, in two overtimes, but still, they have to get that defense figured out. You know the Cavaliers are going to score. There's no doubt about that. We all know that. But they're going to have to do a better job on the defensive end. Also, making free throws, fundamentals. They missed 10 free throws as well. If they want to come out of the East and if they want to have any chance of beating the Warriors, they have to play some better defense, period. They were a plus 10 on the glass, and they did a good job on the boards. For Indiana, Paul George, he almost had a triple-double. He had 43 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists. C.J. Miles added 27 points. They hit 16 threes. Again, poor Cavs defense, but they were only 18-20 from the free-throw line. The Cavaliers were 23-33 from the free-throw line, so they made more free throws than the Pacers attempted, even though the Cavs missed 10 free throws. So, but again, it's all about the defense for Cleveland because we know they're going to score. In the post, they're going to score, but can they bring that intensity on the defensive end? They have to get back to playing that lockdown defense if they're going to win another back-to-back championships. And then finally, the Warriors, they got their 10th straight victory, beating the Wizards 139-115. Steph Curry, he scored 42 points, had 8 assists, hit 9 threes, scored 3. Sean Livingston had 17, and Draymond Green had a triple-double, 11 points, 12 rebounds, and 13 assists. They shot 56% from the field, and they hit 16 threes. They had 32 assists, great ball movement. Getting back to their ball movement for the Wizards, Bradley Beal scored 20, but John Wall, he scored 15, but on 4 of 11 shooting, did have 11 assists. So another great, another solid defensive effort there for the Warriors, even though they gave up 115 points, a little bit much, but they scored 139. Talk about the Anthony Richard. It looks like Kevin Durant is going to be back on Saturday, so I still say the Warriors are the team to beat. A lot of people were saying the Cavs at one time, and after Durant's 100% healthy or close to 100% healthy, the Warriors are going to be awfully tough to beat. I see the Warriors marching on and winning the thing. I'm just letting you know it's going to be hard for me to pick against them, I should say, so we shall wait and see. I enjoy the national title game. Not again, I'm going to pick North Carolina by 4. I think it's going to be a high-scoring contest. I think both teams will play well defensively, but both teams can score. Gonzaga can knock down the 3. They have those twin towers on the inside, but I think the difference is going to be North Carolina, their ability to get out in transition. I think Gonzaga's transition defense could be a little iffy in this one, a little shaky. And also, I believe North Carolina is big, more mobile. They're a little more agile. I think they could get Kornowski and Collins in some foul trouble, especially Kornowski tonight. That's going to be a big key. Can they get Kornowski into early foul trouble? But I'm going to go with North Carolina by 4. Thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget my next show will be Friday at 5:30 Central Time. We'll talk about the national championship game. We'll also close out the college basketball season. We'll talk more NBA. We'll talk some Major League Baseball. We'll talk anything going on in the world of sports. We'll talk about it on Moe's Sports Talk. So have a blessed rest of your week. God is good. Trust in Him. And we'll talk to you next time on Moe's Sports Talk.